morning, everyone. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew 6. And afterwards, we're going to finish the morning service probably about like 7:45 or 7:50. And then we're going to give you guys some time to pray on your own. And about roughly around 8:30, 8:45, we're going to start our reading, okay? So I'm not trying to cut short your prayer time, but maybe pray a little faster than you normally do. Matthew chapter 6. Yeah, our reading took a lot longer than we thought, so we don't want to be here all night. And we won't be, I guarantee it. Matthew chapter 6. Beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them. Otherwise, you have no reward with your Father who is in heaven. When therefore you give alms, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, and that they may be honored by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. But when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your alms may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will repay you. And when you pray, you are not to be as the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners in order to be seen by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. But you, when you pray, go into your inner room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will repay you. And when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Pray then in this way: Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men for their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions. And whenever you fast, do not put on a gloomy face as the hypocrites do, for they neglect their appearance in order to be seen fasting by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that you may not be seen fasting by men, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will repay you. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in or steal. And where your treasure is, there will be your heart also. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will hold to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. For this reason I say to you, do not be anxious for your life, as to what you shall drink, or what you shall eat, or what you shall drink, nor for your body, as to what you shall put on. Is not life more than food, and the body than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single cubit to his lifespan? And why are you anxious about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory did not clothe himself like one of these. But if God so arrays the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more do so for you? O men of little faith, do not be anxious then, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or with what shall we clothe ourselves? For all these things the Gentiles eagerly seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious for tomorrow, for tomorrow will take care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Amen. So we're continuing the Sermon on the Mount, and he's now talking about, you know, giving, prayer, fasting, you know, still in a way talking about relationship things, but relationship, not so much like how you treat one another, but more in the context of how you want to look good in front of other people. And so there's still a relational tangent on this thing, you know, but more it's more, you know, like the Pharisaical spirit is really dealing with having an outward appearance, you know, of holiness or an outward appearance of spirituality without an inward regeneration. You know, and this, I mean, this is what he's really going after, you know, when he's talking about this thing. So he's talking about in the beginning, right, concerning giving, you know, and practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them. And there is value in that, okay? I mean, I don't want you to get wrong, right? So it doesn't mean, all right, let's everyone just stop praying. You know, there is some value in that. But what Jesus is saying is, but you receive your value here on earth. You know, your reward is full. You know, there's no eternal reward or reward in heaven. You know, and so even, you know, as you give, right, and your giving is maybe not the purest, you know, thing, there is a little value to that, you know, but you don't receive the full value, right, or the eternal reward of what's going on. You know, for instance, like some people were saying, you know, like during our auction, right, that, yeah, the auction was great, you know, but man, some people were showing off, you know, and I was like, oh, that's stupid. You know, I mean, it's for a good cause, right, and maybe someone had a little ego or, you know, I don't know, right, I'm not saying this or that. I thought it was hilarious and funny, you know, but, you know, some holy people, oh, there's some ego going on, and, you know, okay, in any case, right, they, you know, some benefit came out of it, but, yeah, maybe their reward was not in, or reward was given in full, right, and I don't want to make a, you know, because I know a lot of you guys bid a lot, and so I don't want you to get any ideas here, right, so this is, I'm not thinking this, so don't think I'm, you know, so I got to clarify myself. Okay, now let's go for it. So, all right, and so he's saying the same thing here, right? He's talking about don't just do it outwardly, you know, like this righteousness, like you're giving, and, you know, and these guys were, you know, going in, and he uses, you know, these word plays, right? He says, do not sound a trumpet before you go, as the hypocrites do. Well, no one sounds a trumpet before they go, right? You know, but you can imagine, because in this kind of setting, there were the boxes. You know what I mean? So it wasn't like, you know, the offering is being passed around and whatnot. I actually visited a church, and they did offering really, really interesting, you know. And I was tossing around the idea, but then it would just be too uncomfortable for me personally, right, and for my wife. And what they would do is that they had a time of offering, and it was offering basket was in the front of the church, right? And everyone walked up, and they went one way and another way, and the senior pastor stayed on one side, and the senior pastor's wife stayed, and they gave him a hug every time, right? So they came in, gave, and big hug, and key. It was a long offering time, right? And stuff, and I thought, man, it's going to be so, yeah, hug, and I was like, forget it, we're not going to do that. But, I mean, very similarly, a very similar kind of, you know, situation, not so much the hugging, right, but more of, you know, people came up and walked in and gave their offering, right, and so, you know, if I recall, I don't remember where's Sam? Is Sam here? Does he, oh, okay, I'm trying to think who else went to seminary. Hey, well, was it in the back of the church? It was in the front, in the synagogue. In any case, so they walked in and they gave, you know, and so, you know, and people came in and they strutted. I mean, that's what he's talking about, right? You know, people came in and strutted, and maybe people clanged their change around, right? Or you know, with their money bag, bam, you know, laid it on. I mean, probably something similar to that happened. And so he's saying, look, don't just live your spiritual life for a response for someone, you know? You know, don't do it to please somebody. Don't do it to be recognized. Give, and these are things that you should receive an eternal reward for, right? And don't lose that reward by being seen outwardly, you know, to other men, right? This whole idea of practicing your righteousness before men. Who should we practice our righteousness towards? God, you know, always, it's only Him, you know, and so be careful when, you know, when we give, or when we pray, or, you know, when we do anything of a spiritual or church, or even serve, right, to be noticed by men, you know, and it's this heart of humility, you know, as we go about this thing. And then, he's talking about giving in the same way. And then he also talks about prayer, right? And he says, when you pray, right, you know, don't, you know, stand as the hypocrites do in the synagogue and the street corners. Now, I don't think that these guys are praying on the street corners, right? But he's, you know, he's using his exaggeration a little bit, you know. And so when you pray, he says, don't even go into your house. Go into your inner room. You know, I mean, the little small room inside your, you know, your room. And go in and pray in that place. And this idea is actually twofold, okay? And so you have to catch it. It's not so much, you know, that just so your Heavenly Father sees. The other flip side is your Heavenly Father sees everything, you know? The scripture here at the end, it says, therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows, verse 8, what you need before you ask him. There's actually a great verse in Psalm chapter 38, verse 9, and it says, and everything, right? I mean, everything is not hidden before the Lord. You know, like your desire is known to God, and it says, even your sighing, right, is not hidden from the Lord. What a great, this is David's writing this, right? What a great, you know, like, it's not even your words, right? Like, because he's saying, you know, and this is where Matthew is getting this idea from Psalm 38. And he's not saying just like, you know, even before you say something, because the word is asked, even before you say something, God already knows what you want. But what David and what Matthew's alluding to is even when you don't say anything, you know, and it's this like, you know, like you're tired, like, you know, like non-verbal communication, right? And the psalmist is saying, God sees everything, you know, and it's not he sees to be angry with his people, like he is so concerned for us, right, that even when we sigh, you know, it's like this, you know, like just really a little tiny, even when we sigh, God knows, you know, and he's at work in the midst of it. It's like if you've been married for a little bit of time, you know, I don't know if you guys are at this stage yet. I don't know if you guys are at this stage yet either, right? Maybe Hyde, you know, because he's got a couple years under his belt. But when you get married and there comes a point in time where you don't have to say anything and you know what's going on with your spouse, right? And I mean, usually for the men, it's usually when we're in trouble, right? And we just kind of know something is up, you know. And I'll just say, is anything wrong, honey? You know, or I used to before I say, what do I do? But now I change because a lot of times it's not me anymore. And things, and, but you know, it's like you can just sense the atmosphere. Are you guys at that stage? No, not yet. Hi, did you guys get a little something? You? No, yeah, they're just getting to know each other now, right? And things, and so, oh, Annie's married. Annie, you guys, you're at that stage, right? Yeah, you just know, you know? And, like, even a little sigh, a little glance, a little inflection in your voice, that's how keenly aware the Lord is of us, you know? And the sighing, obviously, is akin to a burden, right? And he is so aware of our burdens, right, even before we ask him. So, I've heard this said sometimes. So, if God already knows what I need and what I want, even before I ask, why do I have to ask? Right? Some of you guys, I know, ask that at some point in your Christian life, you know, especially if you're in a youth group somewhere. And the key is, see, yes, God knows already, but he still asks us to pray. The primary thing being that prayer actually changes us, right? We can very easily get into the mindset that prayer changes God's mind, prayer makes God do something, you know, prayer, you know, like, and it does, right? And prayer releases, you know, the atmosphere and, you know, a bowl of incense, and all those things are true, but ultimately, prayer changes us, right? When we pray, something happens to us. When we seek the Lord, right, in a season of prayer, whatever it may be, things may happen as a result of that, but what will always happen is we will be changed in some way. You know, it's just one of these, you know, and prayer really is a spiritual transaction that takes place. You know, and so that's sometimes you may not get what you want, you know, or what you're praying for, but in some way that you'll be changed. Do you guys understand that? You know, Oswald Chambers in my utmost for his highest. He writes, and it's on the top of my mind, but he writes something about that, you know, like he says basically you don't go to the Lord in prayer to get a reward. He says prayer is the reward. You know, or something in that regard, you know. And I remember when I read that, it's like, yes, everything just became much more clear to me. You know, we don't pray necessarily just to get something, right? Prayer is the reward because something changes in us. Like, for instance, you know, we're reading the Bible this weekend, right? And for you guys who weren't here yesterday, we got all the way to Luke chapter 4, you know, in 3 hours and 15 minutes. And so we're right on schedule, right? Actually, we're a little ahead of schedule. And but even as we're reading, right, and you know, and some people read really well, and some people read not so well, and you know, and as a result of that, you know, we're just reading, man. But something is happening. You know, I mean, I can feel it too. I feel something is happening to me. You know, as we're going through this thing, and wait till we get to the end and we read together, you're going to really sense something of God, you know, upon our lives. And so, you know, he's talking about. So then he tells them, this is how you pray. So he's talking about all these things. So he tells them, all right, this is how to pray. Pray then in this way. And I'm going to break this down for us in little chunks. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Right? This is a praise. You know, prayer should start with worship. Whatever it is, right? You know, prayer should always start with worship. It's praise. This aspect here is you know, our Father, right? It's our sonship, our daughtership, and it's going up and basically talking about, Lord, we worship you. You know, we adore. In fact, you know, if you ever seen did the acronym ACTS, right? You guys heard that? A is adoration. You know, and you just adore him. And so when I start praying, I just lift up God's name. I say, God, you are so worthy. You are an awesome God. You know, you are a faithful Lord. You know, I love you so much. You love me, you know. And it's just lifting up God, right? You are the mighty God. You know, Jesus, the name above all names. And you just continue to lift him up. And then you go to that part, and then you go into the command part of the prayer. And verse 10 actually the first part of verse 10 is what we call imperative, right? And I know my translation says, thy kingdom come. Actually, the translation is different. In Greek, it's laid out like this. It says, come thy kingdom. So you're commanding right then, right? You're saying, come thy kingdom, right? It's a forceful prayer. You know, and now you are seated with Christ, and you are making that command, you know, through the Lord, right? And it's not out of your anointing or anything like that, because it's out of what Jesus Christ has done. And you are commanding the kingdom of God to come. And then you're commanding his will. And it's not thy will be done, it's be done thy will, right? It's imperative command. You know, and this is, you know, the real, you know, very manly kind of, you know, come thy kingdom, be done your will. You know, and so now this is where you're praying for things, you know, in your life, and you command these things to happen. And the reason why you can command it, because you heard from the Lord, because the next verse is on earth as it is in heaven. And you heard me explain this to you many, many times, right? That it's the translations is on earth as it already has been done in heaven. Right, it's I actually did the favor for you guys, and I looked it up in the Greek. It's epigehos en uranos, right, which basically means, you know, on earth as it were, right, or as it has been done in heaven. You know, that's how this sentence is structured, right? And so it's a really, you know, good way. And so now, do you see how you can command? You can command because you know it's already been released for you, right? And isn't that kind of a nice picture for us? You know, it's like, you know, for instance, you know, I can talk to my kids and I can command them to do something. you know, and sometimes I do and I scare them, right, and stuff, but it's, you know, my voice is a little loud sometimes, right, and so I have to be aware, you know, but I can say, Emma, go pick up your toys right now, and I'll pretty much say it like that, and then she'll usually cry, but she'll eventually do it, right, and you know, Lisa has to keep telling me, quit being so loud, you know, and like, kneel down and say, Emma, can you pick up toys, but in any case, you know, my natural mode, Emma, pick up the toys, why, I have authority over her, you know what I mean? You know, and stuff. Not many of you will go to your boss, you know, your boss's boss, right? Let's put it in that context, and say, hey, you, go get me the stapler, you know? It's like, that's not necessary because you don't have the authority, you know, and nor do you have the position or the weight to do that. But see, in this prayer, you can command things because you have the authority. It's already yours, you know? Let's say I let Leanne, you know, borrow my pen, right? It's my pen. Leanne, give me back my pen, right? You know, I mean, that's kind of rude a little bit, but, you know, let's just say, right, and she's not giving back, give me back my pen. You know, I can command because it's mine. You know, and when we go to this prayer, you know, the command aspect of this prayer, you pray as if you already own it. You know what I mean? And so you're commanding, it's a spiritual warfare thing. And you're commanding this, and you're basically saying, devil, loose what is mine. You know what I mean? You know, and so because there's an ownership, because you know God's will, you know what God has released in heaven for you, and so you command the authority of God, and you say, that's mine, give it to me now. Right? That's this type of prayer, or this aspect here of prayer, right? It's the warfare, you know. It's the commanding, you know, very forceful. Remember, he says the kingdom of God is taken, you know, by force by men of violence. You know, we read that yesterday. You know, and we see how this is an operation, right? We say because it's already done in heaven, this is mine. Kingdom come, be done your will, right? Very very clear. And then. Right, and then we go to the provisional, right, and give us this day our daily bread, you know, provide for our needs. Now, why do we have to pray every day? You know, Pastor, we have to pray every day. Yeah, because he says, give us a day our daily bread. You know, and so Jesus is giving us the picture that this would be a consistent thing in our life. Right, there will always be a gratitude and a thankfulness, you know, and an understanding that it's the Lord, right? I mean, this daily bread is in regard to your work, you know. Lord, thank you for the work, you know, that you've given to us, right? Thank you for the finances, or, you know, whatever it may be. You know, it's all these things. And then the real issue now of our hearts comes, and it talks about, Lord, forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. You know, and this is, you know, dealing with the issues and attitudes of our heart. And forgiveness plays a huge, huge part in our life, especially our prayer lives. Did you know that you can pray the most glorious, biblical, consistent prayers, and if you have unforgiveness in your heart, God will not hear? Right, you know, remember the Old Testament psalmist tells us that if you had regard sin in your heart, he says God will not hear. You know, he just won't hear. Right, the sin, right, is unable, right, or so the prayers are unable to be released because of the sin that we regard in our hearts. And so it's really important for us to really have this understanding, right? You know, about this idea of forgiveness. And you know, and he'll touch on it later on, but we forgive, we're able to forgive because we are forgiven. You know, and you're able to forgive an earthly transgression because our Father has forgiven us a heavenly transgression, like our eternal life. You know, our life is but a vapor, and we can forgive in this vapor to the breath of eternity. You know, it's like it just doesn't make sense. And Jesus will share a lot of parables about these debts, you know, that happen in our lives. You know, and then do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil. The word is actually the evil one, right? Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. It's just a prayer protection over every single one of us. For thine is the kingdom, the power, the glory forever. Amen. It's going back to praise, right? It starts with worship, and the prayer ends in worship. For you forgive men for their transgressions, your Heavenly Father will also forgive you. All right, we talked about this. And then he talks about fasting. Whenever you fast, do not put on a gloomy face, as the hypocrites do, for they neglect their appearance in order to be seen fasting by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. It's that same idea, right? Yeah, there is some benefit to fasting, but that's all you're going to get. It's just that earthly benefit. Your reward is in full. Now, in this context, now obviously, most people around us, because we're fasting together, know that we're fasting, right? Are we disobeying the scriptures? No. What we're doing is a corporate fast, right? It's a little different. Now, if you're going to your work and just telling, hey, I'm fasting, then okay, I think maybe you got to calm down a little bit, right? And stuff. But, you know, in this context, you know, we are fasting corporately. And we see that, you know, all through the scriptures where God calls the fast, you know, or God calls the church to fast together. You know, it says, when you fast, anoint your head, wash your face, that you maybe not be seen fasting by men, but by your Father who is in secret. You know, and it's simple idea, you know, just act normal. You know, I mean, just be normal. Don't be so super spiritual, right? And, you know, don't, oh, woe is me. Oh, I'm suffering for the Lord Jesus, right? And, you know what I mean? And, yeah, I mean, you don't realize how prevalent this is, right? I mean, you get around a lot of spiritual people, you know, or spiritual people, and you'd be very surprised how so regarded this is, and oh, you know, woe is me kind of stuff. And don't do that. Because he basically says, lay for yourselves treasures upon, you know, or do not lay treasures on earth where moth rusts and thieves break in and steal. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Right? This is the key, right? That we are continually depositing treasures in heaven. You know, I remember Etzivoso one time, he was sharing about, you know, this whole idea of treasures in heaven and whatnot. And, you know, he was giving this illustration where he moved, you know, from one house to the other house. You know, and he did it over a period of time because he lived in two cities. And he just kept moving and kept moving, you know, and he just moving stuff to the new house and kept moving stuff. And so much, you know, to the point where there was nothing left in his house, in his old house. And everything was in the new place, you know. And I mean, illustration was much better when he shared it, right? I realize I'm missing many parts of the illustration now, so it's not really going anywhere. But in any case, you know. But as is, you know, just this whole picture, then, and all these things that you really end up not needing, you know, and you just lay down, and you know, it's like we're continually transferring, you know, into our house in heaven. You know, and we could be people that live on earth and just enjoy everything that the earth has to offer, or we could be people that are continually depositing things in heaven, you know, and you know, it's in which continues to last forever. For there where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And, you know, he gets into this whole idea of anxiety and worry. And this is, you know, when I first became a Christian, you know, this passage actually probably spoke to me the most. You know, it may surprise people, but I used to worry a lot. You know, God just totally transformed my life. I mean, I used to worry a lot. I couldn't go to sleep at times, you know, and I just could never turn my brain off, you know, and it doesn't mean I'm smart. It just means I had a lot of clutter in my head, you know, and I was always thinking and I would just read this passage over and over and over again, you know, when I felt anxious, when I was worrying, you know, and it just did something in my spirit. You know, and then the point that I really don't worry that much anymore. You know, as I've seen God's hand, you know, work in my life, and He uses this phrase, and you'll see it throughout the Gospels. You know, in verse 30, it says, "Will He not much more?" You know, "Will He not much more?" Or another way that the Gospel writers write it is, "How much more?" You know, you being evil, how much more we have, you know, and all these things, you know, will not the Lord do so much more? How much more? And it's a compare and contrast thing. And he'll lay out an argument, and you know, and it sounds good. And he says, how much more do you think your Father loves you? You know, how much more do you think He cares for you? How much more will He take care of you? You know, and it's this contrast that He wants us to live in. And he goes to the key. This is my, honestly, I mean, it could very well be my life verse, Matthew 6:33. but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, right? And all these things should be added to you. The word, you know, seek first is what they call a continual, you know, present tense imperative. In other words, the idea is that you are continually seeking, right? It doesn't, seek first doesn't mean, okay, I sought you yesterday, I'm done, you know. It's continually seek first the kingdom. Keep seeking the kingdom first. Keep at it. Keep putting him first, right? It's a present tense, right? It means it's continually happening. You know, to seek first his kingdom and his, and all these things will be given to you, right? So don't be anxious about anything. This is the key, friends, right? And if you put God first in your life, everything will flow. The most important relationship in your life is God. Out of that relationship, all other relationships flow and are blessed. Right? Isn't that true? You know, when you're close to God, you know, and you're really walking with the Lord, you don't want to sin. You know? You don't. Sin happens. First, it doesn't happen when we hatch the idea. Sin happens first, or the first, you know, step to sin is losing intimacy with God. You lose intimacy, and all of a sudden, a door is opened up, and we commit sin. But when you're loving God and you're putting God first, everything flows out of that. You know, and so that's, you know, we're talking about, that's job number one, right? And you put God first, and everything flows. You put God first in your work, you're going to be blessed and prosperous at your work. You put God first in your relationships, God's going to bless your relationships. You put God first in your finances, God's going to bless your finances. You put God first in your family, God's going to bless your family. You know, seek first the king, continually seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You know, in other words, the way that he lived his life. In every part, any part of your life, you seek him first in that part, and everything flows. Everything flows. You know, I know a person, and this person, I don't know, barely Christian in my humble opinion, right? Barely Christian, but along the path, this person really got a hold of this idea of tithing. You know, through the teachings and whatnot, and just really grabbed a hold of tithing. And this person is just tithe continually. God has blessed this person in the area of finances. You know, and you know, hopefully other areas she'll continue to, you know, this person will continue to offer to the Lord, you know, in that way, right? But did I say that person? No one guessed, okay? And so, you know, but it's this simple idea. And you know, you've given a part of your life and you've given it to the Lord, right? Man, God just blesses. You know, and that's why the continually, right, seeking is putting all aspects of our life under the Lordship. Right? I mean, listen, friends, you put God first, right? And man, things are going to happen. You know, I read a commentary that said, if you put God first in your life, the things that you seek will begin to seek you out. You know what I mean? And it doesn't mean you put God first and that's, forget it, man, it's all done. Right? You don't get anything in return. No. He says, and all these things will be added unto you. What are all these things? These are all these things that are in your heart. All these things that you really need. You know, and there's some things that you really want as well. And God says, man, you put him first, it's a done deal. Amen? Let's close our eyes. Oh, is that the right time? 45. Sorry. When I'm tired, I tend to speak a long time. Right? So, in any case, you know, a few ideas, but one, let's really focus on Matthew 6:33. Continually seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things be given to you as well. All these things will be added unto you. See, this is what makes life very simple. This is what makes life very easily livable, in the sense that just put God first. If you have to ever make a decision, just choose the one that puts God first. And if you do that, everything flows. It may mean that you may make some tough decisions or make some decisions that are not so normal or proper in our world. But you put God first, He puts you first. Remember Samuel, right? In early part of Samuel, he says this, those that honor God, God will honor. Right? That's the Old Testament way of saying Matthew 6:33. Those that honor God, God will honor. And so maybe there's parts of your life that you know that He's not first in. Change right now. Ask God to give you the strength to make Him first. And as John and Mon, and it rhymes, leads us in prayer, or leads us in worship, let's meditate on that.
To a child in all of you. Love you, I've been there to bring you praise. I've been a child in all of you.
Let's pray this morning. Let's pray a couple of things for each of ourselves. Let's pray that if there's anything that we're anxious about, you know, anything that we're worrying about right now, let's just give it to the Lord. Let's put God first in that situation. The reason why we're worrying or we're anxious is because we have not put Him first there. You know, we're trying to control it. We're trying to be in charge of it. And now let's just surrender it to the Lord, right? If you're really worried about something, maybe something in your family or your work or your relationships, or let's just give it to Jesus. And in that way, put Him first over our life in that manner, in that regard. And let's just take a moment today and let's just do that, each of us individually. Let's pray for our mission focus, and today let's pray for Hong Kong. Let's pray for the local churches here, the Chinese churches, international churches, ethnic churches. Let's pray for YWAM Hong Kong, Sports Services International, Godwin and Shanti Ministries, Face-to-Face, Zhengsheng College, Feed the Hungry, and CSW, right? And CSW actually having a conference next week. And let's just really lift them up and lift up the churches and the ministries here in Hong Kong. And let's pray that God would just really move powerfully in this city that we live in. Let's lift up our friends. Let's pray for SP. Let's pray for our weekend before the Lord. You know, let's pray for today, for our Bible reading time. Let's really ask God to give us strength. And I know we're fasting, and most of us didn't get much sleep last night. And so let's just really pray for real grace as we just go forward, you know. And let's pray for tomorrow, our two services at 10 and 2, and for Noah's Ark. And let's pray just the hand of Jesus will be upon our kids and our teachers and upon the worship team and the sound and the welcoming and the greet and eat and the message and the offering prayer. And everything we do in service before the Lord would just be so pleasing to Him. Right, so let's just lift up our services before the Lord. I know there's a missions meeting tomorrow. Let's ask God to bless our missions committee as they come together to meet and to really draw close to the Lord. And then on Monday, you guys start Cascade on Monday? Is it this Monday? And on Monday, let's pray for Cascade and as they re-kick their ministry going forward. And let's ask God's hand to be upon them and just real grace. And we'll pray for them Monday night as well. But let's just lift up these activities to the Lord this weekend. us, Father. Let's pray for our Sunday house church. Let's pray for Beijing house church. Let's pray for the hand of God to continue to be upon Pastor Sam Kim and Chris and Mary and others that will be making a move or already there. Let's pray for people that are still praying about coming on board and people that really have a heart for China, for Beijing. And that group will just continue to grow in number and in unity and in love for one another and for Beijing. So let's lift them up. Let's pray for our move. Let's pray for God's hand to be upon us, and let's step into command prayer, right? Imperative prayer, knowing that God has already ordained and designed a place for us. We just need to ascertain it and bring that will here to earth. And so let's just pray God's will be accomplished, and we continue to bless the vine and ask the Lord to continue to bless them in their fundraising and for us as well. So let's just ask God to release, on earth what He has already released. Our member prayer, let's go pray for Alex. We're praying for a deeper relationship with the Lord and spiritual growth. This is a Brazilian Alex, right? Let's pray for continual health and well-being for him and his wife. Pray for wisdom and guidance as they plan to make decisions to grow their family, and that he would find favor in his workplace in the midst of all the uncertainty. And let's just really pray for Alex and ask God's hand to be upon him. Let's pray for Grace Chung. Let's pray that she would fall more and more in love with the Lord Jesus, and that she would hear clearly about the desire of his heart for the next steps in her life, and pray for full healing for her uncle who's got a brain tumor and has to leave the Philippine mission field, had surgery in Korea and is currently in and out of the hospital. Pray for strength and comfort for aunts, cousins, and grandma, and restoration of extended family relationships. And let's lift up Grace and her family. And also, if you could remember to pray for Grace as well. Her grandmother passed away yesterday, right, that we found out. And so, continue to lift up the family. Let's pray to you. Father, we just thank you. We thank you today. We thank you for getting us up on a Saturday morning, Lord, to come and to seek your face, God, to put you first, Lord, in our day, in our life, God. And I pray that every aspect of our life, God, that we always seek you first, Lord, that we put you first in everything, God. And out of that, everything will flow. Now, let there be such a conviction in our lives, Lord. Lord, I especially pray for my brothers and sisters, God, that are going through difficult times, God, and are worrying about things, are anxious about things, God. I pray that they would see the vision of God, Lord, and the simple fact that even our sigh, you see, God, and you care, Lord. The word says, cast your cares upon me, for I care for you. And so we throw down our cares, God, because you care for me. Even our sigh is not hidden from you, God. You are so concerned about us. And so we lay it down and put you first in whatever situation that's causing us to be anxious or worried. We thank you for your care, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's pray together. I feel like, you know, there's a real grace. I know I'm taking more of your time this morning. But I just get a sense as we close our time that if you're actually really worrying about something, you know, let's just pray for you a little bit today, and you can continue in prayer. And so if you're hearing honestly, say, you know, I am actually pretty worried about something these days, just lift your hand up, you know, and everyone take a look around us, right? Lift it high, right? Don't worry. Lift it high, and why don't we just get around our friends? And I just really feel like there's an anointing today to really release, you know, that in the Lord. And as we pray for you, you guys have your hands up, as we pray for you, just in your own heart, surrender that to the Lord, whatever it is, right? And so just keep your hand up until you feel someone's hand on you, and then you can put your hand down, and you just start praying. Okay? Anyone else doesn't have a hand on them? Okay? Can we get some sisters around Leanne over here? Or brothers is okay too, right? Leanne Chow's right here. Leanne, keep your hand up. Okay? Anyone else whose hand's still up? Let's just pray for our friends, and you just watch this, you know, I get a picture of just something's just going to melt. And so, Lord, we just lift our friends, God, who are anxious right now. And Lord, and as they are putting you first right now in their life, Lord, over this situation, let healing word come. See right there, there it is. Over each one of them, God, Lord, as they surrender, and this is what I want you to do. If you're receiving prayer, you surrender in your heart, right? You give that to God. You do your part, God will do his part, as well as the people around you will be doing their part. We thank you for this transaction, God. Lord, as they surrender to you, God, you pick up their burden. All over this place, thank you, Jesus. Right? Just feel that being lifted off of you. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, go ahead, you guys go and pray for all your friends.